Well, on Downtown, here we are with our regular Tuesday appointment with John Corrales from Locked On Celtics podcast, Boston Sports Journal, the All-American Bill Withers fan club, and a host of other important events and places. John, we've got a three-game winning streak for the Celtics. I don't know what the tea leaves tell us about that. But what are your overall impressions of the way things are going now?
You know, it's obviously positive. You know, not only that, 8-3 over their last 11. They're figuring it out, and they're starting to win games they're supposed to win. And more than that, they're, you know, last night's win was kind of how they were supposed to win, which is about as important with this team right now. So progress, you know, and look, November results are always kind of sketchy, always kind of flighty. You know, teams kind of either come out strong or come out, you know, poorly. And by the time January, February rolls around, it's kind of a blip. And so we're knee deep in it. I think the stink of the 2-5 start is still kind of with this team in people's minds, but they've made progress. They've made progress defensively, and they're doing what they're supposed to be done. Now they just got to figure out the offense, which is still a bit of a question mark, but getting Jaylen Brown back and hopefully back for an extended period of time would be great.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that and how it's important it is for any team at any level. I don't care whether it's Pop Warner or the pros, to get a rhythm going, to be able to get in sync. And it seems that with Brown missing and Williams at different times and people missing has been maybe one of the reasons they haven't really been in sync. I mean, they seem to be on the same page, just not in the same paragraph.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, I think. But you're right. Like, I think anybody in their own daily routine, you know that once you get going, like when you start a new job, you're kind of like, what do I wear? What time should I take a shower? What route should I take? And then, you know, after a while, you're just kind of like buzzing along. You can start setting your alarm like 15, 20 minutes later. That still applies to the NBA. And it applies to guys who have been playing together as long as Tatum and Brown have been playing together, because each year they come in and they're expected to do a little bit more. They're asked to do something different. They're adding elements to their game. So there's always going to be some level of give and take. And this year there is no Kemba. They've had in the past, Kyrie. They've had other guys that have kind of shouldered the load, so to speak. And now it's these two guys, and Tatum especially. So there is a little bit of a learning curve here. But I think there's this kind of misnomer going around that they're too similar. They can't play together. I think if you look around the league, most teams are dying to have multiple players who do what they can do. Now it's a matter of you've taken out the middleman. Now let's figure out how to play together without that buffer in between. And so, and on top of it all, Jaylen's missed literally half the season so far, nine out of the 18 games. So that's going to need some time as well. I think Marcus Smart's kind of stepped it up and is going to be a good conduit there. I think Al Horford is super important in making sure that those guys kind of play well together, that glue, that connective tissue between the two muscles of the Celtics. That's all important. Another thing that needs time to be determined and may need the full season to figure out exactly how well they can play together before we can make those grand determinations of one guy has to stay and one guy has to go.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Al Horford. I think from my point of view, and I'm not nearly as skilled at looking at this as others, it seems to me that he is the glue, that in a way. He's brought a lot of sort of Celtics basketball back, in a sense. Am I overstating that?
No, I don't think you're overstating at all. I think Al Horford is supremely important. You know, I was having a conversation before a recent game, and you know, Al Horford walked by, and this the Celtics team official said, "This guy's really a big part of what we're doing here. Like this, you know, his presence is a calming force in ways where he can, you know, when he talks, Tatum and Brown stop." And they listen to him. Like that's really important. Like as much as they can have their 23 and 24 year old moments, and you know, those, you just like equate that to kind of like a teenage a teenager kind of trying to find his way, and sometimes you challenge authority and whatnot. But when Al talks, they're like, okay, okay, yes. They listen to what he's saying. So very important. And then on the floor, he's been really, really good. Like, his defense has been above, like, not even above average. It's like above average. He's been fantastic about, you know, his positioning and the block shots and bringing the ball back up the floor and really helping steady the team. When Al Horford has the ball in his hands, you know that he's going to find the right guy more often than not. So Al Horford being back, at first it felt like, okay, you know, Al's back. He's had a couple of rough years. We'll see what the Celtics can get. And then, you know, maybe he comes off the bench, and then if you need to trade him, you trade him. No, this is Al is back. He's a huge part of this team. Celtics need to figure out a way to just make sure that this keeps going, because he's kind of vital season.
Well, one of the things I thought was great last night, they were up by, I think it was 23, like 80, when they got to 86. They end up winning with a big margin. They didn't go to sleep in the last 10 minutes let Houston get back in. And it would seem to me that's the kind of game you worry about. You've beaten the Lakers, you've beaten the Thunder, you come home, you're looking at a 1-15 team, you're thinking, well, I can take this in a cakewalk. They clearly took the game very seriously, it looked to me like, for all four quarters.
Yeah, and not to mention there's the Brooklyn Nets coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you're feeling good. You won a couple of games. People are starting to like sing your praises a little bit, and you got one of the best teams in the league coming up. You're playing the worst team in the league right now. It was a classic trap game. They came out a little slow. I think they tried to isolate a little too much early, but it was a classic kind of archetype of a good team beating a bad team thing, where almost always it's a slower first half. You say, oh, all right, this team might have a little bit something. Then third quarter, boom, they come out, they play a lot harder, they make their runs, and you're right. I think it's really critical in why I said how they're winning. When the third quarter ended, the Celtics were up big. Fourth quarter, Houston started to make a run. Ime Udoka had in the past, when you look at the Thunder and Cleveland and Chicago games, he had started bench units at the top of the fourth quarter, and those started to, like, give the other team back momentum. In this game, he started Tatum in the beginning of the fourth quarter, subbed Jaylen Brown back in, went with his starters early in the fourth quarter to kind of put this away, and then in the middle of the fourth quarter, when it got up to 29, 30 points, then he subbed them out. Then you had a full 5 or 6 minutes of garbage time where Nesmith and Pritchard and Romeo, like, those guys could go out there and play and actually have, like, they're playing actual NBA basketball. They're getting their playing time. That was really important and an undervalued, I think, part of why teams need to make sure they're finishing off their blowouts and not having to give up these leads. So a very well done finish to the game for the Celtics.
Well, as you mentioned, they got the Nets coming up. What are the Celtics going to have to be stellar at if they're going to beat the Nets?
I mean, their defense is going to have to be on point. This is obviously a very good offensive team in Brooklyn, but their defense can let them down. And they're not going to be, in November, giving their absolute all defensively all the time. So I think if the Celtics can really come out strong, first quarter, you know, put it on them a little bit and force some turnovers, clear away the rebounds, no second chance points, attack mismatches, go after Blake Griffin, go after those weak points in the defense, and force Brooklyn to play defense. A lot of times what you do is you defend with your offense. You force Kevin Durant and James Harden to play defense. Either they will and they will get tired, or they won't and you're going to score. But you got to force them to make that decision. So I think early energy and defensive accuracy and being on the same page there is going to set the tone of whether they have a chance to win that game.
Well, John, as always, we really appreciate your insights. Rich will be back next week. Maybe it'll be a 5 or 6 game winning streak by the time we talk next. And you have a great holiday, and thanks so much for being part of Downtown.
All right. Thanks. You too. Same to everybody else who's listening.